This time of year, a good hoodie is absolutely essential. And the American Giant Classic Full Zip Hoodie is made to last a lifetime. With timeless style, heavyweight fleece, and durable details, you can depend on it for years to come. Snag the hoodie that will bring you comfort for life. The American Giant Classic Full Zip. And save 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com when you use code CLASSIC24 at checkout. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com, code CLASSIC24.
The NFL playoffs are better with FanDuel because right now new customers can bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, guaranteed. That's $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. 21 plus and present in select states. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Today is December 20th, 2024. I am in Delphi, Indiana, and I just attended the sentencing of Richard Allen. He was sentenced to two consecutive 65-year sentences. In other words, 130 years behind bars after being convicted of murdering 13-year-old Abigail Williams and 14-year-old Liberty German, best friends in Delphi, Indiana. They were killed in February of 2017. Now, shortly after today's sentencing, a press conference was held, which included law enforcement officers, the prosecution team, as well as family of Liberty German. I, of course, also attended that press conference, and what you're about to listen to is that entire press conference. Take a listen, and we'll continue to bring you the very latest, everything that happened during today's sentencing in Delphi, Indiana.
Good morning. My name is Jeremy Piers with the Indiana State Police. I'd like to thank you all for being here today and for your continued cooperation throughout the course of this trial. I'd also like to extend a special thank you to the Canal Center for allowing us to use their facility today. As we move forward, we remain committed to keeping Abigail Williams and Liberty German at the center of our focus. Their memory has guided us every step of the investigation, and the photo displayed behind us serves as a powerful reminder of why we're here and what this case has always been about. Due to the gag order, it has been some time since we have spoke publicly about this case. Now that the order has been lifted, we're grateful to be here today and speak to all of you. Before we get started, I'd like to introduce to you the speakers. Mike Patty from the families, Carroll County Sheriff Tony Liggett, Indiana State Police Superintendent Doug Carter, and Carroll County Prosecutor Nick McClellan. At the conclusion of their remarks, Prosecutor McClellan will take a limited number of questions, and he has requested that all questions be directed to him. On behalf of those standing behind me here today, and all those who have dedicated countless hours into this investigation, we thank you all for your continued support. I'd like to introduce to you our first speaker, Mike Patty.
Thank you, Jeremy. I don't have a nice speech all prepared. It was kind of a last minute thing here, but I really wanted to take the time to send out my appreciation that justice has been served for the girls. I want to thank the jurors. I hope they get a chance to see this, that they took time out of their lives and remained open-minded and objective and was able to look at the information and deliver a verdict. For that, I will always be grateful. The community. This community has embraced our families from day one and continues to lift us up and support us. And again, for that, I'll always be grateful. I want to thank them. To the investigative team and the prosecution, thank you for staying steadfast and continuing to work towards this. It's been almost 8 years coming. If I live to make it 80, it'll almost be 10% of my life that's been spent working on this. And to the judge, I want to thank her as well for her steadfast staying on course, staying on track, and helping us get through this. Thank you very much. Tony.
Good morning. The end of 2016 and the beginning of 2017 completely changed the fabric of Carroll County. We lost six beautiful young girls, and all of that happened within a six-month time span. My office is not a part of the investigation into the Flora fires that's being headed up by the state police. We would do anything that they would ask for us to do, and I know they're working extremely hard on that case as well. Carroll County is a tight-knit community, about 20,000 people. It used to be a place where people didn't lock their doors. I believe that the verdict and the sentencing will help ease some of that sense of security for the people of Carroll County. The people who live here are very resilient. I think you can see that just in the families, the Germans, the Patties, the Williams. Carroll County is an amazing place to live, to work, to raise your family. I want to thank all of the people of Carroll County and the families for their patience during this investigation. I keep hearing the word closure. People are coming up to me saying, I bet that you're glad that there's finally closure. There will never be any closure in this case. The Germans and the Williams family lost their daughters, their granddaughters, their siblings. Justice, a form of justice was served, but it does not bring Abby or Libby back. These families will live every day without two of the most important people in their lives. They're missing milestones because of a low-life coward decided to take their innocent lives. They did not deserve this. Today is not closure. It is just turning the page and starting a new chapter. My heart is and always has been broken for these families. I want them to know that we stand with them, and I want to apologize to them that it took 8 years for us to get to this point. This case was quite the undertaking for the Carroll County Sheriff's Office. There are so many people that put a lot of time in and assisting us with bringing it to a conclusion. You see a lot of them right here, and there are many that aren't standing up here. There are so many agencies to thank for standing by our side. Just to give you an idea of the support that we had just for the trial, we had 36 outside agencies help us for just the security during the trial. On the afternoon of February 14th, at least that many came to help us investigate this case. Everyone from detectives down to dispatchers to help investigate or just answer phones. I remember a conversation after we found the girls with Jerry Holman about whether or not we were going to take the case or Indiana State Police were going to take the case. While it was not my decision, but I knew we didn't have the resources needed to do this on our own. Holman made a commitment that if we took the case, ISP wouldn't leave us and they would stand by our side and provide any of those resources that we needed, and they did just that. Tobe Lesenby was the sheriff at the time, and he asked ISP to stand with us. I want to thank Doug Carter and the rest of the Indiana State Police for being with us during this time. The reason justice was served today was due to one person, a person that only knows how to give. She has given herself literally for free to this investigation in different ways since about March of 2017. Kathy Shank, while filing, scanning, organizing, found a tip that led us to be here today. Throughout this investigation, especially when things happened during the month, for things that happened during the month of 2017, that was a time when Kathy was not helping us. When she would come across something that she didn't know, she would always bring that to an investigator. And every time that she brought us something and said, did you know this? We knew it, except for the tip that she brought us that got us here today. To borrow a term I believe was started by Becky Patty, a saying that meant enough to me that I had it on a sticker on my computer, in my car, and on my refrigerator at home. The goal was actually to be able to say the words, and they ring true. There is zero doubt that justice has been served, and today is the day. Thank you.
I had prepared remarks today, but I decided walking in here that I wasn't going to read them. John Perrine reminded me that 2,866 days ago, this entire thing began. I didn't know what I would think, and I didn't realize today we were going to be walking into the same room where many of you were, I believe, in, again, from memory, April of 2019 or that time frame. And over the course of these last many years now, several of us, me included, have been and mocked and ostracized for our emotion, for our inability to answer questions that you might ask, and the thought that we're something other than human beings. I'm not going to apologize for that. I often say I wish people could see what goes on behind the scenes, and not just with people dressed like me, but citizens of this county and of this city. It's amazing, amazing acts of unbelievable courage and self-service and self-sacrifice. I wish you all could have been in the courtroom today and heard the victim impact statements. I'll always remember them, and I hope you'll get the transcripts and read what was said and try and understand the context of those words, even though you weren't in the courtroom. Over the course of these last many years, there have been many, many, many investigative strategies. Any notion of a cover-up, any notion of us deciding the outcome of this, any notion of any connection to anything else is not correct. It's not correct. I've never been a detective in my entire lifetime, but I get to represent some of the best on the planet Earth. And I listened. I listened to them intently. And when they made strategy decisions associated with what the next steps would be, my job was to support them, and I stand by those decisions, every single one of them. The gag order. We lived by that. We lived by that gag order. The defense did not. And it cost a human life. Anybody that shares those photographs of those two little girls should be held accountable, whether they're in the public sphere, whether they're emailed to you, whether you found them in a place you didn't want them to see. I hope that if you ever see them, you'll picture your own children as Abby and Libby. I'll never forgive that. I will never, ever forgive that. We lived by the gag order. Documents were released from the defense that drove a public narrative that many of you talked about. And damn it, I wish I could have responded, but I was not going to violate what Judge Gall said. So they were able to get these documents out there and create a public narrative that you and many others, many of you and many others believed around the globe. Baldwin and Rossi are responsible for that, not this team. The family effects, I think you'll see the words that were spoken by the folks that spoke today about their lives and how they've been forever changed, how they'll never be the same. And they said it in ways that were beautiful in some kind of a mysterious way. There's an attorney in Indianapolis by the name of Guy Relford. And I heard Guy on the radio after the verdict, when a lot of hate mail came, death threats came. And I heard Guy Relford say that day on the radio, and I called him 15 minutes after he said it. And after 40 years in this business, I never thought about the jury's perspective. But he said the only people that mattered in that courtroom was the jury. And he went on to talk about, he's a very bright attorney, he went on to talk about what they can see that we can't, that you couldn't. They could see the defense. They could see the state. They could see the witnesses, feel the emotion. And they could see Richard Allen. I've never thought about that perspective because we have a singular view most times. You, me, it's human nature. Judge Gall was a keeper of the peace in that courtroom, but the people that mattered were those 12 jurors. And we have a system of justice that allows them to decide the fate of a human being. That's what our founders had established. And that's what they did. I hope you all understand that what you say and how you report matters more than you can ever possibly comprehend. This is an opportunity for us to all learn about what social media is and isn't, what we should do and what we shouldn't, and understand that their words have consequences to other human beings. I appreciated Guy's perspective, and it changed my view of the criminal proceeding. Richard Allen knew. We live in a country where people can hate. People can say things about other people. And that's okay. Hate me. It's okay. Because it's one of the only countries in the world where you can. So hate me if you want to. The investigative collaboration is something that I'll remember for the rest of my life. There's no way we could possibly chronicle it or articulate it or write about it or anything. There's no way we could ever do that. We are human beings, and there were mistakes made. But there was never a mistake made that we knew was wrong when we did it. I'll crawl across shards of hot glass for Jerry Holman. Jerry Holman is not a liar. Jerry Holman gave the last 8 years of his life to something much greater than himself. We fussed with each other throughout the course of this, in conclusion. We argued with each other. I remember Tobin and I had an argument right here in this other room in April of 19, as you should expect us to. There was no groupthink. We debated each other, as you should expect us to. But then the defense spins it into incompetence. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous nonsense for Baldwin and Rossi to have done that. And finally, most importantly, to the Delphi community and to the family of Abby and Libby. Words cannot possibly explain what we all feel. But what Nick McClellan did and the rest of the team that was associated with this, every single time it was about something other than themselves, it was about this community and that family. And we owe them a debt of gratitude that can never possibly, possibly be repaid. How about we start to heal now? How about we hit that reset button and understand that justice in this country was served, and if you don't like justice in this country, go to another one. Let's heal. Tone down the rhetoric. Stop all the politics and all the nonsense and all the conspiracy theories and understand that we all tried the best we could. That should be the message to us and to our kids and to this most amazing place we call the United States of America. Well done. Thank you all.
What's one financial lesson you learned the hard way? I'll go first. For me, it's not too late to start saving.
Today's episode is sponsored by Acorns. Acorns is a financial wellness app that makes it easy to start saving and investing for your future. You do not need to be an expert. Acorns will recommend a diversified portfolio that matches you and your money goals. You don't need to be rich. Acorns lets you get started with just the spare money you have right now. And one of the best things about Acorns is they allow you to see projected growth on their website. Simply go online, type in how much money you would like to put in, and see the potential future balance of your account. Sign up now and join over 13 million all-time customers who have already saved and invested over $22 billion with Acorns. Head to acorns.com/hiddentruecrime or download the Acorns app to get started. Paid non-client endorsement compensation provides incentive to positively promote Acorns. Investing involves risk. Acorns Advisors, LLC, and SEC registered investment advisor. View important disclosures at acorns.com/hiddentruecrime. Every year I make the eat healthier, workout, be healthier resolution. But every year it's hard to stick with it. If I had an automatic way to do those things, it might happen. It would be a breeze. Similarly, every year thousands of people add saving money and investing money to their New Year's resolutions. And Acorns makes it easier to start saving and investing automatically. You don't need to be rich or have to go on some crazy budget that doesn't allow you any freedom. With Acorns, you can start with $5 or even just some spare change. Acorns shows you where your money's going and you see projected growth. Head to acorns.com/hiddentruecrime or download the Acorns app to start saving and investing in your future today. Paid non-client endorsement compensation provides incentive to positively promote Acorns. Investing involves risk. Acorns Advisors, LLC, an SEC registered investment advisor. View important disclosures at acorns.com/hiddentruecrime. Hormonal changes are so hard, to say the least. Hot flashes, anyone else? Add in the thousands of hormone disruptors that are in our environment, and it is even worse. From our water, food, the air we breathe, and the clothes we wear, they are everywhere. But the good news is that when Hormone Harmony enters the picture, it can help reduce hormonal symptoms in women of all ages. Hormone Harmony is a supplement that contains science-backed herbal extracts called adaptogens. The best thing about adaptogens, they help the body adapt to any stressors like chaotic hormonal changes that happen naturally throughout a woman's life. Hormone Harmony is actually part of my personal 2024 playbook. Hormone Harmony makes no compromises when it comes to quality, and it shows. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. That's happy, H-A-P-P-Y, mammoth, M-A-M-M-O-T-H.com. Just use the code HiddenTrueCrime at checkout. That's code HiddenTrueCrime. Use that with happymammoth.com for 15% off today.
Good morning. Can we all just have a little bit of a sigh of relief that this thing is over finally? The convictions come in, we've got the verdict, we got the sentence, 130 years in the Department of Corrections. And while I don't think ever this verdict or this conviction will ever bring peace to the family, I hope that they can take this sigh of relief with me to say that this part of the trial is over, that we got the conviction, that we got the sentence that brings justice for Abby and Libby. A few of the things I am going to say are going to echo what Sheriff Liggett said, what Superintendent Carter said, and what Mike Patty said. But I'd be remiss if I didn't thank some people along the way. Law enforcement, Carroll County Sheriff's Department, Indiana State Police, Department of Natural Resources, all the agencies that assisted in this investigation and the prosecution of the defendant, I want to thank. They were attacked by members on the internet for their integrity. They were called corrupt. They were called evil. And they were called liars. And they weathered that storm with professionalism and did what they could to be a shield for the families. Spent countless hours chasing down leaks of crime scene photos, countless hours attempting to scrub the internet of those crime scene photos, and countless hours trying to protect the family as best as they could. And so to them, ISP, Carroll County Sheriff's Department, DNR, the other agencies that assisted, thank you. We would not be here today if it were not for your efforts and your countless hours that you sacrificed away from your family and your friends to give us the evidence that we needed to get the conviction.
I want to thank my team, Stacy Diener, James Luttrell. There is no way I could have tried this case without them. We spent countless hours working on this case, away from our families, away from our friends, and no one will understand the heart and the effort that they poured into this. So thank you. I want to thank Kathy Schenck. She kept us well fed. She was the grandmother of our office, if you will. She made sure that whatever we needed, she took care of, and she never complained. And without her, we would not be here. Without her countless hours of going over filings, of scanning in documents, of looking at reports, and having the wherewithal to bring this to the attention of Sheriff Liggett, to say, hey, I haven't seen this before. Has anybody followed up with this person? Without her, we would not be here. Without her, we would not have an arrest, a conviction, and a sentence. She was the key part to this investigation. The needle in the haystack, if you will, that brought this investigation to a close to where we could make an arrest. Kathy Schenck, I thank you. And finally, the family. The Williams, the Germans, the Patties. Thank all you guys. The support you gave me throughout this. Those times when I said you had to abide by the gag order, that you wanted to respond to the things that were being put out there, the allegations against you, against your family members, that you respected me to the point where you were willing to agree to abide by that gag order for the betterment of the case. The fact that you supported me throughout it, and I know there may be times you doubted, but you endured. And without your help, we wouldn't have got the conviction. And without your victim impact statements, and the graceful words that you gave to the court about how this has influenced your lives, we wouldn't have got the sentence that we got. 130 years, maximum sentence on each count. And so I thank you. Finally, I'd be remiss if I didn't thank Abby and Libby themselves. Libby, for recording the defendant as he walked across the bridge, having the wherewithal to pull out her phone and record that individual, having the wherewithal to know that something wasn't right. Arguably the biggest piece of evidence that we had, that recording of their killer. And then to Abby for hiding the phone from the killer so that he couldn't take it with him, hiding the phone so that law enforcement could find it and get that piece of evidence that Libby had collected. Without the efforts from those two little girls, we wouldn't be here today. So Abby and Libby, thank you. I want to say we're very happy with the jury's verdict. Related with the judge's ruling, or the, not the judge's ruling, the judge's sentence. The sentence is appropriate. As Judge Gall stated in court, the aggravators outweighed the mitigators, and the heinous nature of this crime deserve a fully executed sentence. I'll end with this. I want to thank the media for keeping this case in the forefront, for keeping the tips coming in for us to investigate. But I will leave you this word of caution. Please, as Superintendent Carter said, the crime scene photos are still out there, and more may be out there in the future. Please, if you receive those, delete those. Don't forward those on. Don't re-victimize the family and the other family members. You can write whatever story you want and report however you want. You do not need those crime scene photos to do so. All it does is re-victimize the families and hurt the reputation of Abby and Libby. So please, if you get those, do not forward those on. If you get any other crime scene photos or autopsy photos or anything, don't forward those on. As Superintendent Carter said, imagine if they were your kids, your grandkids. You can write a story without having those pieces as part of the narrative. So please, do not forward those on. I want to thank the community finally. Everybody in the community locally has supported my office, supported law enforcement. The show of support from them has been just unforgettable. I appreciate everything everyone's done. I appreciate the prayers. I appreciate the handshakes, the support, everything that everybody's done throughout this course of the 8-year investigation. When this investigation started, I was actually a defense attorney. I ran for the prosecutor's office in January 1st of 2018, and I knew coming into that office that this case was one that I would have to investigate. And I made it one of my goals not only to investigate it, but to get an arrest, have the trial, and get a conviction. And all the support I had throughout that time, I appreciate it. And so, as Trooper Pierce said, I'm going to answer a few questions. The gag order is lifted. You're more than welcome to talk to anybody up here individually afterwards if they want to talk to you. But I will take a few questions here and now.
Nick, what did you do to help the family navigate the emotions of the swirling narrative outside of the gag order and also the hate and vitriol put on you?
It's not easy. It's hard to put yourself in their shoes because I've never had a child die. And so it was very difficult. It took a lot of phone calls, text messages, meetings. A lot of it was, hey, try not to read that stuff that you see on the internet, which is easier said than done. But a lot of it was just moral support and leaning on each other to say, we can't violate the gag order. Let's keep our eye on the ball. We need to get the trial, and we want to try to get the conviction, and then we can talk. And so it was just a lot of words of encouragement between each other, moral support, text message, phone calls, those kind of things.
What happened with Ms. O'Shea at the end of the hearing? What was that fight about?
It wasn't a fight. She was just commenting about some things that were said at sentencing, and I'm just going to keep those things myself. Well, I don't know if she got up in my face. I'll just keep those things to myself. She was just commenting on things that were said at the sentencing. Yes, ma'am. Well, it's not up to the defense. It's up to the defendant. I'm not going to repeat his name. He's the defendant at this point. And so he has 30 days to file notice with the court that he wants to appeal. If he doesn't file that notice, then there is no appeal. And so once he files that notice, we'll deal with it accordingly. We'll work with the Attorney General's office to represent the state, and we'll give them whatever support that they need in order to draft a response to that appeal. I feel confident in the verdict and the sentence, but again, I'm not on the Court of Appeals, so they'll have to make that decision if it comes to them. Well, at this point, we don't believe any other actors are involved. We don't have any evidence to support that. If evidence comes out in the future to support that, we'll obviously investigate that. We're not going to say, hey, no, we got the conviction. We're not listening to what you have to say. But at this point, we have no other evidence showing that any other actors were involved. If Richard Allen himself, the defendant, wants to come forward and give us more information, we'll gladly accept that.
Is that the reasoning for the amended charges?
The amended charges were we added the two counts of intentional murder. I did that because I thought it was appropriate at the time.
Thank you.
Yep.
Can you tell us more about the shots?
Hold on just a minute. Do you have a question?
Yeah. Can you tell us more about the asking to speak on behalf of other people? How it makes you feel with the guilty verdict and the sentence? Obviously, it's the outcome you guys wanted, but how does it make the entire team feel to get to where we are today?
I think, I hate to speak for everybody, but I think, I hate to be cliche and use the word justice, but justice, vindication, to show that these people standing behind me weren't liars, weren't corrupt. You know, those hate mails and hate messages continue to come in from some podcasters, some YouTubers. But I think just justification that, okay, we conducted a clean investigation, we presented the evidence as best we could, and the jury were convinced beyond a reasonable doubt that he was guilty.
Nick?
Yes.
Does this now mean that all the other men are cleared? Can you use that word?
Who is all the other men?
The other men that were looked at during the course of the investigation that you always said we couldn't say that they're cleared. Can you now say they're cleared?
I may not use that word cleared, but what I can tell you is we don't have any other evidence that ties them to the offense at this time.
Are you still looking into the Anthony Schatz profile in any other secondary investigation?
What do you mean looking into the Anthony Schatz profile?
Well, in 2021, you got asked for information on the user of that profile. Mr. Klein was in custody
Well, it didn't fade it out. He was convicted of, what, 34, 35 counts?
Is there anybody else connected from that profile to his case at all?
Not that we have any information of that right now.
Can you speak to the timing of today's sentence? Christmas is 5 days away. This is an emotional time of year for a lot
sure.
of folks, and you've lost people and this kind of thing. Can you...
There's no significance in my mind to the timing. Once a person is convicted, they have a right to be sentenced within 30 days. And so I think the timing just was to try to get it in before the holidays because a lot of people do have time off and the courthouses are closed. So there's no significance in my mind to the timing, but that it worked in everyone's schedule.
I just mean that it's the time of year when people are with people they love, and these two little girls are not with their families today.
I'm not sure I understand your question, but yeah. Regardless of the time of the year, I imagine it's hard for the family to not be with the victims any day, whether it's somebody's birthday or somebody's anniversary, the other holidays we have out throughout the year. Christmas is probably especially difficult. Again, I don't expect this verdict or the sentence to bring peace to the Patties, the Germans, or the Williams. I don't know what at this point could ever bring peace to a family member that loses a child or a parent that loses a child. What I hope is... What I said, I hope it's a sigh of relief that this portion is over and that the conviction as it is now stands and that he's been sentenced to the maximum possible sentence. I hope that is a sigh of relief for them. And I hope that they now, like Superintendent Carter, can continue to heal and start to put this chapter behind them. That's why the plea to the media, please do not recirculate those pictures, because all that does... as Mr. Erskine said in his victim impact statement, it's like a scab or a wound that scabs over that is constantly ripped open. It's a constant reminder that our loved ones are put in this vulnerable position.
Nick, should people face criminal charges or any kind of charges if they do publish or share those pictures?
My opinion is if the Indiana Code allows criminal charges to be pressed for those kind of thing, if something comes in my office, criminal charges will be pursued if the criminal code allows it.
Superintendent Carter, can you speak to the number of...
Well, he can ask some questions after we're done here. So,
would you concede that there are some tolls in this case or things that cannot be explained that you guys were not able to explain?
I'm not going to concede that, no. Go ahead.
The judge spoke today to the defendant's conduct, specifically him rolling his eyes throughout
sure.
the trial. Your take from your professional perspective and side of the case is, I'm sure you've watched him throughout the case. What was your reaction down to that?
It's hard for me to see him because the way we were seated, especially during the trial, we were kind of all crammed. We call it the well. We're kind of all crammed in there, so it's kind of hard for me to focus on him. And the way I try cases is I'm pretty focused on what I'm doing, and I try not to get sucked into the reactions of other people. I like to watch what the jury's reactions to certain things are. And so a lot of the stuff that she commented on, I didn't see from him. What I did notice from him is what I said in my sentencing recommendation, just the lack of remorse and the lack of regret, the lack of emotion, I guess, when the images of the victims are put up on the screen. As a father, when I see those things, and you've probably seen me up here in other places, I get a little emotional about it, and it's hard not to. And so the lack of those things kind of struck me. I didn't see him roll in the eyes of the judge, of course, but obviously never a good thing to do. So those are my comments on that. Just one more, then I'll be good. Yeah, sorry.
What piece of evidence, like from his demeanor to any parts of your case, what piece of evidence do you think did it for the jury and then to also elicit this maximum sentence? What do you think got us here?
Oh, gosh, I don't know what did it for the jury. I think it was a culmination of everything that we had. I think once you start stacking that evidence against him and as it stacks up, it's hard to say that the defendant isn't Bridge Guy. And if you can accept that he's Bridge Guy, you can accept that he's the killer. And that, to me, is the bottom line. And so...
If you have a message for Richard Allen, you could talk to him face-to-face right now after all this has been said and done, what would you say to him?
I think I would just echo what the superintendent said and what Sheriff Liggett said and some of the things that were said by the victims' families at court. If he truly wants to apologize to the families and admit to what he's done, now's the time to do that. So,
can you say today that Carroll County is safer than it was 8 years ago?
I believe so.
What steps have been taken to make it safer?
Well, I think it's safer in the sense that people can have that sigh of relief to say, okay, we got the guy, we got the conviction. And so I think in that sense, it's safer. I've always thought Carroll, I was born and raised here in Carroll County. I left, of course, to go to graduate or college and law school, but then I came back. And so this has always been my hometown. It's been my hometown for three generations or four generations in my family. And so I've always thought it's a safe place. And the things that Sheriff Liggett said, the thing that the victim said in the sentencing, that wasn't fluff, that we didn't lock our doors and that we knew everybody else. That those are true statements. This is a traditional, small, Midwestern town. And so I think it's always been safe. I think there can be that pressure off of people now to say, okay, I feel better. We got the guy. We got the conviction. And we know he's going to be in prison for 130 years. So,
go ahead.
That'll be it for the questions today and for the press conference. I would just like to say I thank you for all for coming out. As you go about your day, please remember the most important part of this entire thing, and that's the two girls that are behind us today. So as you go about your reporting, please do that and have a safe trip home. Thank you.
Look at you go, knocking stuff out, letting nothing get in the way. Whatever life throws at you, you throw it back at 97 miles an hour. And if the chips are down, you make more guacamole. Yes, you've got what it takes. Because there's no stopping you with you on your side. Everwise believes in the power of you, cheering as you take on the world. Everwise Credit Union. Confidence changes everything. Now go get 'em.